Let's continue to give the Lord. They say, Father, we thank you. Just give God thanks in your own words. Continue giving him thanks. Just thank him because indeed he is good to you. He's working in your life. He's bringing forth the plan of God for you. Your being here again this evening is part of the plan of God. It's part of his way of working out his eternal plan in your life. Just continue to give him thanks. Say, Lord, I worship you because in Christ I live. You are working out the purpose of your will, your eternal will in my life. Just give him thanks again for that. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right, amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Today, again, the word will enter your heart.
Amen.
It will give you light and direction.
Amen.
It will break every bad habit.
Amen.
It will manifest godliness.
Amen.
It will cause righteousness to emit out of your being.
Amen.
It will cause you to be an influence in your environment.
Amen.
And every disease is cursed by it.
Amen.
It's totally eradicated.
Amen.
Because Jesus has already paid.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please shake somebody's hands before you sit down. Tell the person, you're blessed.
You're blessed to be here.
So Satan is running away.
Is running away.
You have come for real deliverance.
Real deliverance.
So that's your portion. Tell the person, there are things you don't even know are wrong. And you have been delivered from them. Say, the sickness I will have come in 10 years. Today,
the
word is curing it. And you are enjoying it. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Oh, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, we are continuing our study on the pursuit of God. And we will be starting today from the book of, which one do we start with now? Last time I began to speak about the pursuit of eternal life. And that's the topic I want to pick on to sit on today. Last time I ended up saying a lot of other things before we got into the pursuit of eternal life. We ended up speaking mostly about seeking the face of God, what that means, what that implies, what we are supposed to experience by that. Among the things that we said last time, I think it's very important I review them. Or let's just read a portion of the Bible again today before we start that. The book of Psalms chapter 27. Today I just feel like reading it from another translation entirely. Don't ask me why. Sometimes you get, you know, as a preacher, you just have these moods. Just wake up in the morning, have a different idea. So that's one I have today. I want to read from the God's Word translation, Psalm 27. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who is there to fear? The Lord is my life's fortress. Who is there to be afraid of? He said, evildoers closed in on me to tear me to pieces. My opponents and enemies stumbled and fell. Even though an army set up camp against me, my heart will not be afraid. Even though a war breaks out against me, I will still have confidence in the Lord. I have asked one thing from the Lord, this I will seek. Now please notice this. I have asked one thing from the Lord, that is, I have all these troubles, but what is paramount in my heart is this one thing. He said, and that is the thing I will seek, to remain in the Lord's house all the days of my life, in order to gaze at the Lord's beauty, and to search for an answer in his temple. He hides me in his shelter when there is trouble. He hides me hidden in his tent. He sets me high on a rock. Now my head will be raised above my enemies who surround me. I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy in his tent. I will sing and make music to praise the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Have pity on me and answer me. Now please notice this. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, O Lord, I will seek your face. Do not hide your face from me. Please notice that the Lord said, seek my face. The Lord did not just present his face. The Lord did not just give out his face. He said, you that I'm talking to, go and look for it. Are you getting my point? That is, it's valuable. Things that are valuable, you have to show your commitment to wanting them. He said, I said, my heart said to you, O Lord, I will seek your face. That is, I will put my effort into it. Do not hide my face, your face from me. Do not angrily turn me away. You have been my help. Do not leave me. Do not abandon me, O God, my Savior. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because I have enemies who spy on me. Do not surrender me to the will of my opponents. False witnesses have arisen against me. They breathe out violence. I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in this world of the living. Wait with hope for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart be courageous. Yes, wait with hope for the Lord. Now, that's what we read last time, Psalm 27. This one, I just took it in the God's Word translation. That's because I was reading it actually earlier in the day, and it sounded so nice. So I decided, let's just take a look at it from God's Word translation. And that's what I want to pick up from today. As is my habit, I'd just like to take a minute and go back to what we said last time, and then pick up from there. We're also going to read from the book of John later, but let's just quickly revise the things that we said, what we have been saying. This is the pursuit of God we have been talking about. Today is the ninth of the messages. And last time we talked about the face of God and how when we see God's face, his power is released. Among the things we said, I remember I pointed out the fact that you have to, that time we talked about the prophets of the inner circle. I must emphasize that again. God needs those prophets on the earth. There is nothing that God wants to do on the earth that will be done except he's able to raise the prophets of the inner circle. Who are the prophets of the inner circle? That the prophets that have imbibed his spirit by being in his presence. Last time I talked about the two kinds of prophets that Israel had. And the Lord told Aaron and, of course, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, okay, about them. He said that when they challenged Moses, they attacked a different kind of prophet. He said, in Israel, I have all kinds of prophets. But there is a kind of prophet that Moses is like and should have been afraid to talk to Moses. And from there, we learn that there are prophets, okay, that are not just commissioned by God to go and deliver words. They are commissioned, definitely, but beyond that, they have a personal relationship. I took time last time to explain about the man Daniel, that the Jews did not consider him a prophet in the sense they considered the other, in the same sense as they considered the other prophets, people like Isaiah, Jeremiah, you understand, Ezekiel, you know, Zephaniah, Haggai, and all of that. But because he had a high esteem in heaven, God used to give him revelations that were actually personal consolations. He was that kind of prophet that he knew the mind of God because he loved God. He knew the mind of God because he took time out to stay with somebody he loved, who was the Lord. I remember at the beginning we talked about the fact that Enoch walks with God and that till now God is looking for such people to walk with him. Those are the people that he refers to when he says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. That's the kind of person that Abraham was. Even though you never heard God call Abraham, before you were born, I knew you. Before you were created, I anointed you to be a prophet of the nations. God never told him that. But he rebuked kings for his sake, saying, touch not my anointed and do not do my prophet, talking about Abraham now, any harm. When they took his wife, he told the man, you have taken the wife of a prophet. And that's Abraham. We said that Adam was God's first prophet. The time that Adam was speaking to the animals, the time that Adam was naming them names that we said, is not just about, okay, identification. It's describing character. He was prophesying to the animals what they will be like on the earth. He was telling them, you look like you will do well in the home. So you will be a domestic animal. And he made a dog a domestic animal. He would look at a close relative, say, no, you will be in the wild. He would look at another animal and say, no, you can't be at home. He would describe their character. And that was why at the end of the day, when God created the next human being, which was his wife, he also brought the woman to him to see what he would declare into her life. And he now declared into her life This is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Now, this is what's going to happen. A woman she shall be called. Are you getting my point? He gave her character. That's what I'm trying to say. That's the job of a prophet. Adam was God's prophet. We talked about the fact that the different prophets in Israel, people like Jacob, people like Moses, they will describe what will happen to the generations after. These are the prophets of the inner circle. By being with God, God didn't have to talk to them directly, but they had imbibed his spirit. And having imbibed his spirit, they saw the way he saw, and therefore they reacted the way he reacted. And when they opened their mouths to speak, they will be speaking the word of God. And God will have to confirm those words. So that's the kind of prophet that all of us Christians are supposed to be like. And listen, that was what God proposed. There was a time somebody was prophesying and they were saying, shut up. Moses said, are you jealous for my sake? I wish everybody would be prophets. That's what God is saying. I want every one of my people to be a prophet, every child of God, so that if I send them into a particular area, all right, in life, because they understand the mechanisms of what's going on in there, and they have the right spirit, they will look and say, this petroleum sector, this is not good. And they will say something else, and that one will come to pass. Yes, a pastor, you know, somebody like us who sit down on days like this and be teaching, we may not be prophets in that area. And there's no point in trying to be a prophet everywhere. There are many things you don't understand. Even if the Holy Spirit wanted to reveal them, you won't be able to receive them. Do you follow my point? I mean, if you did not go to school and read a lot of and study a lot of things about this petroleum industry, Holy Spirit won't come and bother you with fracking and increase. You get my point? He won't bother you with some of these things that you won't be able to talk into them. So we raise a prophet like you in that sector. Do you get my point? He said, you go to church. I like one thing David Paulson said. He said, the job of those ministers listed, apostle, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, is to clone themselves. When he said it, I said, is everybody going to be apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher? All right, is everybody going to be like that? Then I realized that they may not all stand on the pulpit like this. But if the apostle stands up like this on the pulpit and declares words and does what David Paulson said, clones himself, they will not all come and replace him on the pulpit, but they will go to wherever God sent them and they will become apostles in that place. There they will raise the dead. It is not only human dead you raise. You can raise dead businesses. Do you get my point? You can say dry bones will live again. After people will know that man, any business he buys, follow him. Because whatever he puts his hand to do, rise up from the dead. They will be telling stories. There was a company, they told us that the manufacturer had moved to China. The man bought the whole company that used to be worth $500 million, bought it for just a token sum of maybe $50,000 with all the liabilities and assets. We knew that was minus, but he came there and he was smiling. And he said, manufacturing shall return. And we said, you don't understand. It has gone to China. There is no electricity. And the man looked and said, I said it will return. And he leaves. And we close the gate. Say, this man has bought liability he doesn't know. Then a few months down the line, a new government came up and looked at it and said, these Chinese people are killing our economy. And they imposed some tariff. Then power generation improved. Before we knew what was happening, it made more sense to manufacture those things locally than importing them. Then we went back to that factory, unlocked the gates, and began to oil the machines. A year and 6 months after he bought the company, we released the first goods and were hitting the market at 40% cheaper than the Chinese imports and at better quality. Then we looked at the man and said, indeed, a prophet has risen in the midst of us. The man doesn't preach in church. He only preaches in factories. When he talks to machines, they respond. That is how preachers clone themselves. Are you getting my point? So Moses, his desire will be fulfilled. I wish that all of you were prophets. It is possible for everybody to be a prophet. You are a woman, you are raising children in the home. I don't need to tell you. You are the prophetess of the type that Deborah self can't compare with. You wake up in the morning, what to declare upon the house. Now, go to Proverbs 31. You will see that the Lord gave the authority to run that home into the hands of a virtuous woman. Are you getting my point? Which means that she has words to declare that will bring order into the house. But Satan, you know what he does? He tries to confuse us. You wake up in the morning and the children, of course, you know, children, they have to grow from being satanic to being godly. You know that? When they are born, they are on Satan's side. It's true, children. When they are born, they are on Satan's side. It's as they are growing up, and you are working with God and with righteousness, that they keep on moving gradually to the Lord's side. And it's in the Bible like that. Foolishness is bound where? In their hearts. So I say, everybody wake up at 5:30, 6:15. In fact, they just came to bed at 5:00. It's called tempter. What did I say? It's temptation. They are tempting you. That's what I mean by being on Satan's side. They tempt you to see whether you will sin with your mouth. And then many people don't know. They now open their mouths and declare, these useless children. Can you see that? They think they are responding to the behavior of the children. No, they fell for the temptation of Satan. You have to learn to reorder your words. When you are angry, you coin the words differently. We say to them, in this house, all of you will obey the Lord. Even if you have to use a rod to make the point clear. You understand my point? You don't speak negatively. Ah, no, they are going to tempt you. You are going to teach them to tell the truth, and they will come and tell you a lie. But don't tell this boy you are a liar. No, he's not a liar. How can he be a liar? He's a seed of the righteous.
Yes,
so we say to him, you are the seed of the righteous. You will not make lying a habit. Can you see? It's a different word. This time around, it's a prophetic declaration. So that's prophecy in the home. In your business, you are a prophet. And I said, talk about the prophets of the inner circle. For you to be able to speak like God, you must be with him. Are you getting my point? Jesus, that was what he did. He appointed some that they will first be with him, then he'll be able to send them out. He sends them out so that they will declare his words. And that's why God said in that Jeremiah 23 we read, he said, if only they had been in my counsel, my inner circle, they would have heard my words, they would have seen my plan, they will have imbibed my spirit. They will have begun to think like me. They will have realized that when I saw the earth that was formless and void, I did not say useless earth. I said to the earth, light be. Then I created something in my heart and I began to declare those things into existence. And we said that's what we're supposed to be like God, who caused those things that be not as though they were. Or like my Bible, New American Standard, will say, who caused into existence that which did not exist. That's just the way it is. So we're looking at them, just trying to bring us up to speed and add some things here and there. All right, so remember last time we said, look, we must understand the face of God. That we said that knowing God's face or seeing God's face was a quest of the heart of Moses, who was an example of the other type of prophet. Not just a man who would come, take the word of God and run away with it. That's one type of prophet. But some who understood God personally. So the Lord could trust them to speak for him. Moses was like that. And you see Moses, we read from that Exodus 33, that Moses, the desire of his heart was to see his face. And God said in that 34, all right, I know what you really want. It's not the physical resemblance you are looking for that you need. What you need is a description, an understanding of the name of God. And we said any part of life where you know God's name, you gain control in that area. I like one illustration I used last time, that there are names we will never find out on this earth. Meditate from now till tomorrow. As long as you're on this earth, you won't find out those names. But when you're in the heavens, God says, let's make another universe. Okay, I want you to rearrange the stars. He won't sit you in class and start telling you, this is how you persuade the stars to move. He will tell you his name when it comes to star operations. When you realize the name of God, when it comes to arrangement of stars, you will look at the star. And say, because you will see later, maybe we'll talk about it. There's a way you invoke God's names or God's name upon people. God said that to, what is his name now? Aaron. He said, Moses said to Aaron and his sons, thus you will bless the children of Israel. You know that one? The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord. He mentioned a number of times. He says, thus you will invoke my name upon them. You have to learn how to invoke God's name. It's not just by calling the name, it's understanding. When God shows you his name, I give an example. If you understand the meaning of Jehovah, man of war, you will know what David meant in that Psalm 27 we just read. When my enemies encamp around me. He said, my heart will not be disturbed. Why? He understood the name that God is the man of war. He understood. I like the way he even started. Let me just look at that. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. That's God's name. My light, my salvation. He said, the fortress of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He said, because of the name of God, he understood, my fortress. He said, my opponents and enemies, they surrounded around me, but they stumbled and fell. Even though an army sets up camp against me, my heart will not be afraid. If you see the way he started it by saying, the Lord, what is his name? My light, my salvation. What is his name? My fortress. Once he understood that name, all the other things were the conclusions derived from that understanding. I said last time, one thing we must worry worry. That is, any part of life you don't understand the name of God, then don't give your soul rest until you have discovered it. That's what we're talking about here. We must seek his face. When he commanded, seek my face, he meant, you don't know enough about me. Go after understanding. Why didn't he just reveal it to the people? That's what we're talking about today. He said, he came to him, he said, look, it's like, see, you know, a man comes to you, say, make sure you see me. He said, but I'm in front of you. He says, and he goes away. When he says, make sure you see me, you know what that means? Start looking for how to find me. Go and read the story of Lester Sumrall. Lester Sumrall met Howard Carter, thank you. He believed that he and Howard Carter were supposed to see and go together. So Howard Carter said something to him. All right, you and I will travel together, no problem. Then after that, he didn't find Howard Carter again. Hey. They finally found each other, I think. Was it in Australia? From America. Not now that you have GSM, you Google him up or check his WhatsApp location and check whether he's on Facebook. No. Howard Carter, the man was... He had to pray so that by revelation, he will find Howard Carter. Sometimes God will do us like that. Seek my face. Show me what is important to you. Let your heart seek after me. He said, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart, not when it's convenient. Because once we understand God's face, believe me, once we see his face in an area, we have gained control. That's the point I want you to understand. You see his face in an area, you have gained control. You cannot pray effectively, we said it last time, until you understand God in that area in which you are praying. That was why Moses waited till God gave him the revelation of his name as a merciful God. Then he presented his request for mercy. Right after God declared himself as a merciful God. The Lord is good. So that's what we've been looking at. Now, today we are looking at that thing again. That's Psalm 27. And then remember what we read, the scripture we read last time. And we're going to read it again, maybe as we go on. That's from the book of John. But let's just continue. So we read from this Psalm 27. He said that, seek my face. And I said, your face, O Lord, will I seek. No, let's read that one from John now. There's a reason why. I need to read it now so as to bring up the next point I want to make. The book of John chapter 6. The book of John chapter 6. One thing I want to bring out today to Christians, all right? Which is what we've been doing all this while, actually. Is for us to, of course, we began trying to say that we must know what to pursue in life. We must know what to pursue. You know, my wife and I were talking this afternoon. And I just told her, I said, listen, sometimes we tell her, look, why, how is this man making a plan for his life? Anytime I hear that, my heart kind of wonders that, can we really plan our lives? If something is not going right for somebody, it does not mean necessarily the person is making the wrong plans per se. It may be, this may make you laugh, it may be that the planning itself is a problem. That is, that you have a plan alone is a problem. Sometimes the people that don't have any plan actually do better. Now, please follow me. I'm not saying people should not have plans, but you have to be careful to know what to plan about. So I told my wife as I was speaking, and it came like understanding to me. I said, maybe we shouldn't ask people, what's your plan? We should say, what is your obedience for today? Not your plans. Many people are making plans that are disobedient today. I don't know what I heard I said. They have good plans, but today they are disobedient. I said, it's not your plans that's a problem. It's your lack of obedience for today. You know, on Tuesday, we talked about faith, right? Remember? And I said faith has what? Duties. There are some people who say they are walking by faith. This was the example we gave. I told a story I read from Kenneth Hagin, one of his short sermons. He said he went somewhere. And they said, talk to this young man. He respects you a lot. Listens to your messages. What is the problem? He doesn't agree to do anything. He has a wife. He has two or three kids. He doesn't agree to do anything. Why? He said, God will supply. And let me tell you something. Faith and foolishness, they look alike. They look alike. If you take a picture, all right, or you know what they call a wax model. We don't have them in Nigeria, but they have them. They have them in the UK, all right? You can take a picture with Michael Jackson. And you travel, go and fool people, say, I visited Michael Jackson. And you start with Michael Jackson. And you take a picture with him, and your friends will think it's a real Michael Jackson. But what they will not know is it's a wax model. So if we took a still picture with Michael Jackson, and with the model of Michael Jackson, nobody can tell which is which. Because the wax model looks exactly the same. The only difference between a wax model of a man and him is that he is alive. The wax is wax. You get the point? Faith is like that. It looks very much like foolishness. Sometimes a man is walking by foolishness. If you take a picture of it, it looks like faith. So when you look at them, is this one alive? You can't tell, it's a photograph. So that young man that claimed that God will provide. Listen to me, it's very hard to tell him he's not walking by faith unless God gives you understanding of another way to help him. And that's what we said on Tuesday. That what should you tell such a person? So boy, are you walking by faith? Let's see whether your faith is alive. How do we know faith that is alive? James said, by the works it is producing. Which one is your own producing? Laziness. Producing idleness. Producing not blessing anybody. Nobody can go to sleep and say, you helped me today. Nobody will go to sleep and say, today I met that man. I got to a place where he was using the gift of God in his life and something was impacted into me. Nobody, after 6 months of being alive and well, nobody has a positive thing to say. One day a woman asked me for help in an area. And I asked a number of questions. Do you know when I asked a few questions about her husband. When she finished telling me about the man, I put my help back in my pocket. I said, if I give you this money, you'll give the man food. Such a man should starve. I'm serious. That's what I just felt. I couldn't tell her. You know, there are things you are just angry. You're just angry. You want to punch somebody. Your wife is out hustling. You sit at home picking your teeth. And she will cook food and you eat. Bishop Oyedepo said if he's the one, he will not eat. He said, well, let me die in righteousness. I will die obeying God. We said it on Tuesday. That listen, faith has what? Duties. It has duties. So if you are walking by faith, you ask yourself, what is the duty of the faith I'm walking by? That's what we talked about. All right? The Lord is good. So I'm going to say something here. So that it's not the plans of a man actually that's the issue. It's what is what? I said earlier, you ask yourself, what is the obedience for today? Because I thought about it actually, you know, apart from, of course, I always pray to the Lord to give me understanding about life so I can give direction to people that listen to me. It is important I minister life to them. It's important. Somebody sent me a thank you message the other day. I get a number of them here and there. Some of you sent me quite a number last week or the other week. All right. I was blessed by those feedbacks. But this one said that you are like light in darkness. Because she listened to something I said. I told my wife, yeah, I'll listen to this. You are the wife of light in darkness. It's good. The Lord is good. So I always pray that God, please give me understanding so I can help those who listen to me. Like Paul would say, take heed to your teaching so you can save yourself and those that listen to you. He was writing to Timothy. Are you getting my point? So I thought about it very, very seriously. And I told myself, listen, it's not just about the plans you have for your life, but the obedience of today. You see what I'm talking about it. Over the last few days again, I started reading my book. That's what I do. I have a book. I've read it before. I read it again. So it refreshes something in your heart. I was reading the story of Derek Prince again. I have the biography okay, by Stephen Mansfield. I was listening to the story of the Red Prince again, and I looked at his life. I shook my head and said, my God, this man actually walked by faith. And I'm reading his biography. I'm reading his story. As an old man, half of the globe was listening to him every day. Once he went to New Zealand and they told him, sign papers. What is the paper about? Or what are the papers for? He said, we are registering Derek Prince Ministries New Zealand. Why? We have been broadcasting you on air for a while. And he was not aware. They invited him to come and preach. It was before he left, they said, please sign these papers. What's the paper about? Registration papers for Derek Prince Ministries New Zealand. It has become necessary because of feedback. People keep on writing the radio station. So we need to have a structure that can handle the correspondence. People are, maybe I'm just adding words now. Maybe people are sending in money to cooperate with the broadcasting. We need a structure that can receive the funds and use it appropriately. So the man signed papers and went back to where he came from. And Derek Prince Ministries New Zealand, Derek Prince knew nothing about it. The ministry just kept on running. They just take his tapes, he preached somewhere else. They did them, put them on TV, on radio. That's how his life was. Once he was just shortly before he died, while he was being interviewed by Stephen Mansfield, who wrote the book, they were sitting in a restaurant in Jerusalem. And next day, they saw a bit of commotion over on the other side of the restaurant. And of course, Israel is full of tourists, you know. And what happened? Some people, when they were coming to Israel, they knew he was living in Israel, so they prayed to God that he will let them see him. When they were coming, a band of tourists. So that day they entered the restaurant only for somebody to point out, look! So when they saw the Red Prince there, they knelt down to worship. I don't know whether you're getting my point. They were so excited. Many of them there were named Derek. I don't know whether I get the point. In the team, there were people who bought the name Derek. Why? Because their parents were so blessed by Derek Prince. When they had children, they gave them, once they were males, they gave them the name Derek. And the man didn't know. So he just sat down there and he saw people coming around crying. And they were like, who died? Who died? What happened? Are you getting my point? No, nobody died, sir. We are too excited to see you. He died a few weeks after that. Now, why am I talking about this? I read his story again. He made a statement. Stephen Mansfield asked him, you mean you didn't have any ambition? He said, I had none whatsoever. No plans, no ambition, nothing. I just knew that the Lord said he had called me to be a preacher, to a teacher of the body of Christ. So he had no plans. His life was just moving anyhow, in quotes, until he became the Red Prince. But he made a statement. He said, my future was not mine to determine, that God was going to work it out as I obeyed him. He said, the problem these days, people have too much, they can plan too much. They have too much ambition. The man said, I had no ambition whatsoever. None. I told you before, the man, his own obedience was interesting. I told you his first wife. I used to say, well, she was 20 years older than him, remember? Yeah, I lied. She was 25 years older than him. I finally got, well, I didn't lie, of course. I made a mistake. I said she was the same age as his mother. No! His mother was 20 years older than him. His wife was 25 years older than him. Not kidding. By the time he was shaking his world, he was 40, between 45 and 50. His wife was over 70. The man said, ambition? No, I didn't have ambition. He didn't have ambition. That is, if you read his story, the man said, I had no ambition whatsoever. Now listen, he's a well-educated man. Don't think he's a layabout. He was teaching in the university when he went off to war. It was during the war, all right, Second World War, that he met Christ, gave his life to Christ. And in fact, he would tell, there are messages on it, what he called disciples in the desert. He didn't have a church to go, nothing. Just used to read his Bible. That's how God kept on building him up. From there, he took a leave. That's when they were in Israel. Then he met, because there's this house, all the soldiers used to go and maybe get, you know, have some fellowship, have some refreshments. That's why she started going. It turned to be the house of Lydia. That's the woman he now married. From of course, after he left the army, he stayed back in Israel. After because of the war and everything, he had to leave, went back to England. his home country. Then he started, he said one day there's a particular space where everybody can speak anything that's in their minds. So one day he got there, he and his wife were walking, and they saw one little girl trying to preach, and some people were disturbing her, you know, pulling at her skirt and talking, pulling her hair and all of that. And the little girl determined to preach. So he went up there to be a man and stand up for her. Only to get there, it was one of his adopted daughters. Because by the time he married that woman, she had like 5 daughters adopted. So he said, wow, this must be what God wants me to do. So he took over from her and began to preach that day in the open. Then he preached and preached like that for days. People were giving their lives to Christ. He was teaching about salvation, the Holy Spirit, and healing. And people were responding. So that's how he started a church in his house. I don't want to tell the whole story about it. You can go and get his biography and read it. But his life kept on moving. From there, he went to Kenya. From there, he went to Canada. From Canada, he went down to the United States. From United States, he settled down finally in Florida. And then he was having so many invitations going from one place to the other that Derek Priest Ministries took off automatically. Now, I'm not telling any more stories about his life now, but to let you know that the man was obeying God daily. And let me tell you the truth. When I was reading it, I said, God, this is the structure for God, for the people of God. It's not the ability to plan your life that's the issue. It's the ability to obey God every day and relax. I was reading David Servant again today, and the man was talking about covetousness and all of that. And I said, that's the major problem. People are covetous. Everybody wants to strategize so they can have something big. You know, sometimes when people running up and down, life is better here, it's better there, you can make money there. I just think about it. Do you ever sit down to realize that God did not create me to make money here and there, but to go out and obey him in past lives? I've told you here before many times, the richest list in the world doesn't mean anything. The richest people, the Forbes list, has no meaning. The only reason you hear me talk about somebody like Dangote again and again is not because he has money. I'm sure you know that. It's because of things I see him doing. So that's what used to excite me when you hear his name drop in my mouth a number of times. Today I was talking with my wife again. We're looking at the newspaper and all of that. Just saw one man there. I said, this man is one of the problems in Nigeria. He's from a very rich family, son of a former governor. I said, a family which, if you say, the only thing you know them for is that they are rich. What do they do? You don't know. I thought about it. I told my wife, I said, listen, these are the problems we have. Hey, Rankadede, a rich man who you cannot tell your children. This is the example to take from his life. I thought about it. And that's the problem we have. People think that, look, money means nothing. And Jesus kept on saying, beware and be on your guard against every form of covetousness. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. What God wants us to do is to obey him on a daily basis, and then he leads us into the place he created us to be. Derek Prince would never, listen, he did not even desire what came out in his life. That was not his prayer. I was listening to reading Stephen Mansfield describe how technology changed Derek Prince's life, even though, of course, he didn't plan it. By the time his ministry was launching out, that's when the small compact cassette tape was being released. And if you go again, his countryman, David Pawson, said that was what changed his ministry. David Pawson met the Lord when he was in school, and he kept on serving the Lord as a university, an agriculture student in university. One day he prayed, said, God, what am I going to do? Let me know. Am I going to be, his father has at least a farm for him to take over when he will leave school. The day his father showed him the whole plan, he said, Dad, you're a few days too late. He had already made an arrangement with the Lord that he's going to preach. Why he said, then he asked the Lord, please reveal to me what I'm supposed to do. By 12 o'clock that day, which was when he asked the Lord to please do it, he had 2 signs to let him know that he was going to be a preacher. He was already preaching at that time. So that's how he abandoned farming and decided to be a preacher. He was preaching in church. Somebody had this old, I never saw it, I just used to hear them talk about it. Big, they say real recorders, they'll bring it to church. Make a long story short, let me not spend my time on that. Eventually, this cassette tape also came out. And people started recording his messages and distributing them. That was what changed his life. We have come in the generation, people like us, who are preachers. Who has time for tape? When we started here, we used to do tapes in Kingdom World here too. Then we moved to CDs. Then we bought our CD multiplier. And then, of course, we started putting everything on the web. Now, 90% of those that get our messages regularly get them from the web. Most people I hear say that I heard your message. It's like I went somewhere. My friend was playing on the phone. My friend was playing on the computer. Are you getting my point? And then I said, what is this? I listened. I copied everything. I went to listen. See, the technology changed. God is moving his word around the world now through another method. He did not depend on me to invent anything. He depended on me to just obey and teach. Many years ago, when my wife and I first, when we first rented this place and we came up here and they were doing some work there, of course, the place has changed a lot since that time. Okay? We just prayed and said, from here, this gospel will reach the world. I wasn't even dreaming of television or something. Then one day I went to church, one woman stopped me. Say, Pastor Banker, I've been looking for you. I said, what's up? Say, I'm starting a television station. I want you to be on it. That was the first time I realized that we could actually do TV. So we'll go to the studio, record a few times. After some time, I said, look, let's buy a car. Of course, the TV station didn't make it. Then we'll say, let's buy our own cameras. We bought our cameras. Then we'll put our recording on NTA. Then found out that we were paying more to NTA to reach just a few states in eastern Nigeria than we'll pay to Omega Channel to reach the whole of sub-Saharan Africa. Do you need to pray and ask God what to do in that situation? Are you getting my point? So we didn't change anything more than where we sent our tapes to. We just started packing the tapes and shipping them off to South Africa where they are based. Spending the same amount of money had a different audience. So I just remember one day I said, this was the prayer we were praying to my wife. That from here, we'll reach the world. Somebody wrote me the other day, one of our sisters here said, Should she investigate for us how to open accounts in UK? I said, okay, never reach like that. Because somebody wanted to send us money, so I said they should give to her, that she'll find a way to give us. Believe me, if 2-3 people ask that, make that kind of request, I'm going to London for 2 days to go and find out what it will take. Now, I'm going to say something here. These were not things you did with planning. Those just things. In fact, the first day we opened an account for Kingdom World, okay, we're just here, of course, initially. My wife and I gave 90% of the money that we spent and all of that. So we didn't need an account. My pocket was the account. After the money was coming from there, what are you talking about account when the money is coming from your pocket? Okay, we had account books and all of that, of course. But then one day, as soon as we went on air, after a few days, one guy sent a letter, opened the letter. It was a check for 5,000 that I made to Kingdom World Ministry. So either open an account or throw away the check. Choose one. That was when we quickly rush. That young man, never met him, don't know he was a student. He was blessed. So just wrote a check for 5,000 naira. I remember very well. In fact, it's easy to find out who it was. Just go to our account and check the first deposit. Can you plan these things? No, you can't. I was just reading the Red Prince today. And because of that, over the last few days, and I'll discuss with my wife this afternoon, and I said, no, the problem we have in life is not the ability to plan. God has planned already. Believe me, he has planned already. He has planned already. He just wants to fit you into your proper place in the plan that he has made. And it depends on your obedience each day to be able to fit you where you are supposed to be. You can't plan for God. Like I always say, if you make long-term plans and they work, you are not blessed yet. Forget it. You're not blessed yet. Make your long-term plans, especially when you are jobless and I do. I've seen that people are not doing anything. They have all kinds of business plans in their heads. It's true. You're not doing anything. You come up with all kinds of ideas. You know, your guy said it once. All these young people. You told me then. People have too many ideas. You're not doing anything. Why won't you have ideas? Well, I'm looking for that, my friend. I've seen you, but I won't let anybody know it's you. I'm just looking around pretending like I don't know where you are, but actually, I know where you are. I told my brother, I said, next time you come with me to come to me with an idea, I will beat you. This man, he said, all kinds of ideas is a guy that come. You boys, forget these ideas. Just do the work I've given you to do. All these ideas, you guys are having. It's because you're not doing anything. Believe me, the best ideas come to you while you are busy. Yeah. All those ones that came in your sitting room, after you have eaten, you finish eating donated okpa. It's not... believe me. All those ones, like, everybody Jesus called, they were busy doing something.
Yeah.
Matthew was busy cheating somebody on tax. Jesus came and said, good. You'll be good for the ministry. Let's come and cheat the devil. Come, follow me. Believe me. No, I have found out. Listen. Look at somebody like Dangote, right? Just as an example. He's been a refinery. Do you know why he's been a refinery? At least the little I understand, I may be mistaken, but I was reading the story some time ago. It was simply because Yar Adua, that's a former head of state, overturned the bid, that is, the purchase the old refineries Nigeria had. So when Yar Adua came, the purchase from Obasanjo, so when Yar Adua came, he cancelled the sale. After cancelling the sale, the man just looked and said, okay, if that's what you guys want it, no wahala. That was when he decided, let's build one. I talked later on to one of the men who were in, somebody I got to know anyway. Talked to one of them one day, and he said they were angry with the sale. They were in the industry. They were angry with the sale because they said, go and build your own. I said, oh, was that why you guys pressurized the president to overturn the sale? He said, yes. That go and build your own. Why do you want to buy our own? Obasanjo's reason for selling is that this has been a drain on national resources. And after all the millions, hundreds of millions of dollars we have spent, nothing. And of course, he knew that if he gave to the private sector, they would do well with it. So, that's why he sold it. They overturned the sale. The man said, okay, no problem. Is that the way you guys want it? I build my own. And you know, that history really excites me. $6 billion of personal money was what the man put down. Is that 7 billion? Oh, you see? I found out it's now 7 billion. One extra billion has been added during Bible study. $7 billion, cash. American government nodded, added $980 million to it. Everybody now gathered the rest of the money. You're talking about, is it $16 or $19 billion? When they started the thing, the man looked and said, "This, let's double the size of this thing. It would have been working by now, but he doubled the capacity. That's why they pushed the production to next year, the year 2019. Did he plan it? No. They put up something for sale. He bought it. They revoked the sale. Like we say in Wari, now the guy provoke. And now all of us are looking forward. Look, that single investment. Please, let me just beg you. Just not part of our message. Just be praying for him. Forget all those people who say, is it the only one? Listen, if you two are faithful in your business for 25 years, God will do something for you. He will. Don't join the cult of poor people who are always angry with anybody trying to do anything. I'm telling you, it's a bad thing. All I'm talking about, you actually can't plan your life. You can't. It's just not possible. We're here on Tuesday, right? We're studying Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Remember when we got down to the end? Said there's a woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are chains. Said the one who's pleasing to God will be delivered from her, but the sinner will be what? Captured. Now, you remember when we were teaching that, they explained something by the Holy Spirit. That he wasn't talking about a literal woman. Until that Tuesday, I used to take it as a literal woman. It was that Tuesday as I was reading it, I said, oh God, thank you, Lord. Solomon was not talking about a literal woman alone, even though he applies. But he was talking about the fact that I dug for wisdom. I researched wisdom. I took my master's in business studies from Harvard. I did a PhD in Princeton. I went for MBA in the best schools in the world. I had all kinds of business knowledge. But life had traps. That's what he was saying. Say, one man came to me one day with the best business ideas. I bought the idea. Everything was right. But last moment, they overthrew one government in one African country, and my $10 billion was gone. That's what Solomon was saying. Life has traps. So he said, the one that's pleasing to God, we escape the traps of life. And that's why he said, God hid sound wisdom for the upright. What was he saying? You can't plan anything. That's what Solomon was saying. He said, the more wisdom I had, the more I realized I did not know anything. Even in my profession, those of us who are pathologists, when we're in training, the big guys used to tell us that the young pathologists, especially when it comes to autopsies, they are the ones that make the quickest diagnosis. Before they finish, they know what's wrong. But the old ones will scratch their head. They will check, ask questions, examine again. They wait till they finish with the microscope. Come back. At the end of the day, a lot of times they are still confused. Why? They have so much knowledge. But those that don't know anything, they are so confident. Solomon said that's how life is. The more I learned, the more I realized there was so much more to know. He said, after everything, I found out life has what? Traps. I remember one Olympics like that. I couldn't believe it. You know, 4x100. You know the way Usain Bolt collected all of these things? America at that time, the days of Carl Lewis and Co. They were collecting. I forgot which particular one guy was running that time. They have found, to my surprise, they didn't win 4x100. Why? They dropped the baton. I said, what? They had collected, all the men were winners. Winners, they were 4x100. Of course, the gold was in the bag. Everybody was waiting for them to collect the gold. Then one guy to exchange baton before. There's another one. The exchange did not fall, but at the end of the day, they disqualified them. Why? One guy took one step beyond the spot, the limit for exchanging baton. And that's it. Flo Jo, they collected her lines, her medal. You know what she did once? Before the drug matter. She was running, and at one point, she took one step outside her lane. Give us our gold medal back. Thank you. They gave it to the person who came second. Solomon said, life has what? Traps. There are so many traps. There are people who are in prison today. They didn't do anything wrong. Somebody just said at the airport, please let me hold this bag. That's it. They are still confused 15 years later. They are in prison. Smart, you know, they have everything together. But life has what? Traps. That's why I found that look. I was just thinking about it before coming up. I said, gosh, you can't plan your life. You can't. Okay, so that's the point I just wanted to make. I just remembered it today. I said, no, let me just let people of God know that what is required of us is what? Day-to-day obedience. It is not what is your plan. No, it's what are you obeying today? Why are you where you are? What are you doing there? How are you improving yourself? How are you blessing somebody? It's not what to come out tomorrow. Don't worry. Tomorrow, God can do something different for you. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. There are people who are learning businesses today that God say will not exist in the next 5 years. Yes. You are learning how to develop photo. No dark room. Meanwhile, digital printing is coming out. I'm telling you. But don't worry about it. What did I say? Don't worry about it. Because if it's what you are learning today, just be learning it. That's what you are doing today, just be doing it. The Lord knows how to remove you from where you are to where you are supposed to be. He knows how to. It doesn't judge you based on your skill. He judges you based on your faithfulness. You must understand that. God is not judging you based on the skill you have acquired. He judges you based on the faithfulness you have done things with. That's what he's judging. So he can train you in a business that's collapsing in the next 5 years. And he's not bothered. But the training, if you pass it, if you do well, it's not the skill that he's judging. It's how faithful you were. So he now takes that faithfulness and uses it somewhere else. I have told the story countless times of Mary Kay Ash, who retired from being a salesperson and wrote a book on how to do sales and just said to herself, she just wanted to help people that look, from her experience over the years, she thought that people were not doing what was right. So let me teach people how to do what is right. So she wrote a book, and at the end of the day said that, who will read the book? Let me go and put what I have written into practice. When she did that, so as to do that, she started Mary Kay Cosmetics. And the thing became so successful. One American school gave her the award, of course. I mean, they gave about recognition, kind of. They gave about two of them. They said the most successful female entrepreneur of the century. They gave the other one to Henry Ford, the male one. Why? Because he said, let me just prove a point to people. After the story of how she became exceedingly wealthy. You see people outside, you don't really know exactly what's going on with them. You assume that this is what they are doing. Meanwhile, that may just be the visible thing in their life. There's something else God is using to bless them. So that her son came to her one day and said, listen, my friend is a good man. He has this new technology that he developed for prospecting for oil. He needs investors. Invest in it, he told the mother. The mother trusted her son and she put her money into the business and forgot about it. Whether it would do well or not, she didn't even know. I wonder whether she cared. Then one day, the pastor of our church said to her, please help us raise money tomorrow in church. This our children's church is taking forever to build. Help us talk to the people to give money. And just because she forgot, of course, she didn't want to do that speech, that public speaking, that one. But of course, the day finally came, even though she tried to push it as far away as possible. And that morning, as she was rushing to get ready, she suddenly heard a voice inside her, not outside, as a strong thought dropped in her. Offer to double whatever amount they give this money. According to her, if people say they hear God, that's the closest I ever came to it. She got to church, mumbled around her sermon, finally said, listen, look, let's make this simple. Anything you give this morning, I will double it. She was a rich woman. Normally, they would get $500. If the pastor knew how to push and drill, and according to one guy, told me, promote the offering. Yeah, one day somebody told me that I'll be the one to promote the offering. That was my first time of hearing promotion of offering. So, after much pushing and promoting, maybe they get $1,000, $2,000 max. So when she said, whatever you give, I'll double it, she expected like $5,000. Okay, they give too much, $10,000. And she told them that Mary Kay business, they don't do cash. They don't do credit. You do cash. They don't sell on credit. You're buying their things. That's how she established her business. You paid cash. She told the church people, I don't want pledges. I want money you are giving today, Sunday. The pastor had to go and beg her and say, madam, please. They have already come to church. They didn't plan for you. Please, can you allow them till tomorrow? She said, all right, fine. The money you have to pay it tomorrow. By evening, she was waiting for the phone call to tell her how much money they raised that she had to match. She didn't get the phone call. So she said that the money must be too much, must be up to $10,000. In the morning, her phone rang. Her pastor, one of the head, either the pastor or the head deacon called and said, first of all, ma'am, sorry we didn't call you yesterday. We were having a meeting until it was late. The church council met and we decided that you should be released from your pledge. That pledge you made to double whatever money they gave, you are going to match with your own offering. The church has agreed. Whatsoever we shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we shall lose on earth shall be lost in heaven, whereby lose you from that pledge. The woman said, it's my word, I gave it. I refuse the deliverance. How much? The man opened his mouth and said, $106,000. Even she was weak. The Lord had just done a terrible thing in righteousness. The woman was weak. Like what? Then the deacon said, remember, we decided you are released from your pledge. She said, I'm adding my own words now. Remember, I decided I don't want to be released. It's my word. It's my bond. So she sat down there with two hands in her head. Say, Omo, wala de. Who led me in this direction? Say, and remember, it's money you have to pay that day. Where will she get $100,000 from? She thought, okay, I'll go to my bank. My bank manager knows me very well. He will give me the money. I'll pay back. She said, let me go and take a loan. Before she got off from there, that same phone rang again. This time around, was that her son, the one I started with. And he said, Mommy, how come everything you touch turns to gold? She said, what are you talking about? Remember my friend you invested in the business? She said, yes. They just struck oil. Your share in the first month is over $100,000. Did you hear that?
Yes.
The first month. And there's a next month. And there will be another following month. And the next year will come up. says over $100,000. The woman said it was with fear and trembling she went to pay the $106,000. She realized that God had planned long before she came on the picture. So she said, you can't outgive God. You see her outside. Listen, you can't plan your life. That's the point I'm making. When God wanted to make that woman rich, strange things like that was what he put around her. That's why today I told my wife, no, we don't need plans. We need what? Daily obedience. So you ask somebody, what are you obeying today? Not what plans do you have. What are you obeying today? What are you obeying to? That's all. It's not the plan. I keep on saying it. If your long-term plan has been succeeding, be afraid. That they just go home and beg God, say, dear Lord, can you scatter me small? I'm too ordered. Things are not good like this. This kind of order does not bring victory. Really. Because God has to show he's God. Look, that's how he shows it. He has to show he's God. He has to take you to a place where you did not plan for. He has to take you to the midst of people that you never knew you could walk through. That's how he will prove his God. If you only, listen, if, look, you went to school, you got a BSc, first class upper, is there second class upper? Second class upper, first class, you got the best job, you did a master's, you did a PhD, you applied for a bigger job, they gave you this thing, and then you raise your shoulder, you're working with the big men. If that's the only thing he does in your life, then how has he proven that first classes is not what he used to promote people? One day after he has used a first class, everything, all degrees, and he has reached somewhere, they will turn you and say, shake that man's hand. You will shake the hands of somebody that can hardly speak English. And who's your boss? And listen, don't even say that. This country is not fair. Were you not the one that said grace is not fair?
Yes, sir.
Why is that? When they say apply to you now, you don't like it again. You get my point here? That's just life. God will just show it to you, say, oh boy. That's as when as people making, you know, plans. What you now do? That go and get this degree abroad. You get this one, and then you now connect with this. You go soon jam. That's all. Look, when they say vanity upon vanities, we know we are studying Ecclesiastes. Is Ecclesiastes studying Ecclesiastes? We now realize that human effort into such things is wasteful. I know. I'm so happy. I understand this. It's making life very easy for me. You know, I have children who are. My son is writing jam now in the next few weeks. And if now you could believe God to send him to, believe God to send it away. Told the boy, your first choice of university is University of Nigeria, Enugu campus. I'm not kidding. If you come now and say, Pastor Banky, the Lord laid it upon my heart to give you $200,000 to educate this boy. I will educate him in a comfortable environment. You have $200,000, I may go spend them. Say, what are you doing? I'm buying him a good house, good AC, good everything around here. So when he comes home, his head go cool. But this is your neck, you shall go. I'm not spending, God sees my heart. I'm not sending you abroad for anything. I'm not. I don't. Look, let Dangote or Tedola give me another Nigerian. Obasanjo. What's Costaris' name again? Costa is a hand. Thank you. Innocent, all of them say, Pastor, we like what you are doing. God said we should take up educating these children for you. Which school do you want them to go to? I see there are a few jam from your neck. Second choice, your neck. Third choice, your neck. Say, rich man, I have just saved you for money. Instead of paying dollar, naira, na here. I'm not kidding. I'm not. God is my heart. I'm not kidding. I even used to like Covenant University. Then I changed my mind. I said, well, I said it's too far. That is the only thing I have against Covenant. It's a good school. I love it. But I just say it's too far now. Why do I want to fly to school when I can trek to school? No. You say check out. You go first fly to Lagos, then go by another 2 hours, 3 hour taxi to get water. But why do you want to go through that? When you can just drive to, in fact, when you become a real big boy, you can even do big boy. Say, "Daddy, please, can I borrow your car? I want to just go to school. You know, I have to go to school. Can I just use your car for 2 days?" You know, you can't do big boy. So, I mean, why do you want to fly to school when you can borrow your father's car to go to school? Why am I talking like this? I have realized that none of these things determine what you'll be in future. That's why I'm talking like this. Not as if I don't want a good education. It's just because I realize that once you can learn what you are supposed to learn basically, what you need for success, I keep on telling parents, get your children to kneel down, lay hands on them, prophesy for them, occasionally wake up and say, "Lord, I want to ask you for my children. Do this, do this, do this for them." Then you turn around and train them in righteousness and justice. That is all. That is all. That is all. Those who run all over the world acquiring degrees, we work for them. Young Kicho used to say that he was the least educated on the board in his church. In Yoido Christian Center, they will sit down. He hired the best people. For their newspapers, he gets the best editors in town. If whatever it is, he will get the best engineer. He will go, and then he said, "I'm the chairman of the board." So he sits down and everybody answers to him. All he went is a small Bible school. I can assure you, it was one of the cheapest in town. Because when he came out from this church, people only came to his church because everybody was poor. So the church tents would keep them warm sometimes. It was a poverty scenario. Everything was poor. He was poor. He wake up during the night, he's bleeding because of hunger. Maybe one wound that he didn't eat well. He got so. I'm telling you. And the man learned the gospel of abundance and began to preach the word of truth. And God raised great men from there. I beg. I've realized it too. There's no way you can scheme your life into success. It's not possible. It's not possible. Look, it is not possible. There's no way. Time and chance, Solomon said, happens to all men. And like when we were studying that one, we said, you can't prove Solomon wrong. Forget that thing. You can't prove Solomon wrong. So what are you supposed to do? Each day, prove what? Faithful. That's why I said, what is the obedience for what? Today. What is the obedience for today? You're working for Enugu State Government. What is your obedience for today? What God does for us, his people, is to open doors. I sent it some tweets out the other day. I don't know whether I can find it. Talking about different steps by which God brings people into victory. If I can find it now, I just would like to read them out. What God would do for you is to open doors. Yes, I think I just located it. Talking about grace for success. What is the way of grace for success? I gave 6 points. That day I was just, you know, you just wake up, you're inspired. Holy Spirit just comes upon you. You feel like you're anointed to preach. So you start preaching in your room. That's how I wrote this one that day. 6 points. I said, well, number one, ask for success from God in the name of Jesus. Ask in faith, not in the power of good works you have done. Number two, feed on the word of God daily. The word of God breathes life into you. Don't feed daily on business books. Feed daily on the word of God. Those books don't have life. From books, you learn how to interact with today's world. That's all. Like I said the other day, you need to know the tax structure of your environment. You learn that from books. You need to know the laws of your environment. You learn that from books. But what brings success is not the books. So I said, feed on the word of God daily. It breathes life into you. Feed on the word of Christ. Then number three, I said, sow the word regularly over everything that you are doing. Now, don't sow your desires. In Jesus' name, this company is going to be worth 10 billion naira. Sometimes that company will die. And it's the will of God. Are you not saying we'll succeed? Wait. The Bible says he takes away the first when he wants to establish the second. Sometimes what he has given you today is just your first. A second is coming. And you don't know. So don't die with the first. That's why I don't believe that you have to say this company will be worth $10 billion one day. No need to say it. Just sow the word over it. Sometimes the word will come out and kill that one. Yes. Because it may say this is the seed. And when it's alive, it abides alone. But when it dies, it brings forth much fruit. That's what happens. But you don't know. He has not given you enough revelation concerning that. But one thing that never fails is the word of God. Because the Bible said the word of God is alive and active. Is alive. The word can think. It's a living thing. So when you look at what you are doing, you sow the word over it. What do I mean by sowing the word over it? It's simple. This is the word of the Lord to me. I will be fruitful. I will multiply. I will fill the earth. I will subdue it. I will have dominion. Are you getting my point? Remember, we invoke the name of God. You know, we talked about that earlier. You invoke God's name over everything you are doing. How do you do that? Simple. You talk to the thing about God. You go to your office, cross your leg. Say, office, sit down. Nobody's around, only you. Let's talk about the owner. Today's message is titled, The Owner. God is the owner of this place. Creator of heaven and the earth. What is his name? The Lord that gives the power to get wealth. You say to your chair, say to your reception desk, say to your display cabinet, say to everything, the Lord that gives the power to get wealth. You are invoking his name over everything. You go to your generator, it is the Lord that gives the power to get wealth. Sometimes you go to your generator and tell the generator, Jesus is the soon coming king. You don't know what the gen wants to do with that, but just tell it. He needs to know it. Things have ears. Your carburetor will have ears and reduce consumption of oil. I told you, until you start behaving like you're the craze, you're never ready for victory. Imagine Jesus talking to a tree. Do you think he was a normal person? He said, Pastor, let's go. He doesn't hear. So Jesus said, I'm coming. Let me talk to this tree. He said, Jesus, why are you bothering? They are sick to heal, lame to walk. How are you? But he looked at a tree and spoke to the tree. He looked at the storm, spoke to the storm. We should learn to talk to things in our lives. Like I said, you're not talking to your desire. You are talking the word. Look, you need to write a diet. The other day I was telling my wife, I said, listen, if I have not fulfilled that promise, I'm supposed to write a number of scriptures that I learned, I just put together a few days ago. I wake up sometime and I declare them concerning my children. So I said, baby, look, this is what I've been using. He said I should write it and forward it to her. Put some things together and declare. You must sow the word. It's not just about feeding yourself with God's word. Having fed yourself with the word, you pronounce it over things that are under your control. That's number 3 point. Then number 4, you start watching out for the door that the Lord will open by himself. But I also put in there, when it comes to doors, beware of traps. So what's the difference between a door of God and a trap? One, all of them you handle with prayer. But number 2, watch out for the doors of righteousness as against the doors of unrighteousness. Watch out. This book will soon be out, guided by the Spirit. Please, when that book comes out, make sure you read it. So there's something I wrote in the book so you can apply those things diligently. That diligent application. I wrote that also in the book. When you apply these principles of the word diligently, you discover the will of God without effort. Matter of fact, there are doors that will open. Just look at the door. What is pushing me to this door? These days, I see a lot of people, crazy doors. They jump into it. One major door you should be afraid of is a door that just promises you increased revenue without improving any other thing. It doesn't make you more effective. It does not plan to teach you anything. It's not making you more influential. You are a preacher. It's taking you away from where you can exercise your anointing. You should know it's a door of Satan. I've seen many people follow the door of Satan. Surely they follow it to America. Anyway, it was where life is sweeter. Please go and read the book. Don't quit the army. That's why I wrote that book. Many people, that's what happens. They follow doors that you can see this door is taking you away. No, let me give an example now. I'm here teaching the word of God every day. You now hear that my university said that they are sending people around. So if I will agree to go, And the money is like, they are going to be paying like $20,000 a month. But that means you will now go to one, you go to Saudi and go and work there for 2 years. Believe me, if you give me $20,000 a month, I will be happy. Amen? Say amen now.
Amen.
You won't be happy. Okay, you are not sure. Just give it to me first. Let's try it. Just for 2 months. So, see, check whether I can maintain the happiness for 2 months. Then if it doesn't work, don't give me the third month. Of course, I'll be happy. But believe me, I'll ask you simply. So what happens to Kingdom World Ministries? It's a simple question. There are little things that God will even won't talk about. You're not going and pray to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, should I take it? Holy Spirit will say, Banky, arise. Take it. This is the door I have opened for the breakthrough you have been looking for. Say, Lord, are you sure it's you? Say, yes, it is me. Who else will it be? Then when you are going on the road to go and collect the visa, the car will enter into the lagoon. Then a fish will wind down your glass, fish you out, swallow you. And the fish will say, good. Last time I tried to digest Jonah, he was praying. You? I won't let you pray. Then you now remember that you can pray from your eye. The fish go, oh, these pastors are difficult to swallow. We'll vomit you again. Now say, what are you doing here? The angel will now say to you, look, I wanted to kill you. That fish swallowed you. Were it not for that fish, I was going to kill you inside that water. Say, why? But God said I should go. He said, but did you not hear that there is a go that is told to Balaam and told to Ahab? That was an Ahabic go and a Balaamic go. God always says go to those who reject the truth and want to hear his voice. They reject the truth, they want to hear his voice. You see, fine Christian girl there for church, worshiping the Lord. The unbeliever now comes down with an S280 or S420 and attends 2 services and asks her to marry him. And then she now, of course, he's rich. I forgot. He didn't steal that car. He bought it. I can see what he's doing. He's a big guy. She now said, let me go and pray. If you pray, God will say, marry him. Yeah, I hope you hear what I said. God will say, marry him. He will say, marry him. And they will now be bragging to us. I know God spoke to me before I married this man. God said, yes, I know I spoke to you. I knew. Then some of you go and ask, God, did you speak to us? I said, yes, I did. Lord, but your word says, be not unequally yoked with an unbeliever. He said, she knows. She knew that one now before she came to pray. Oh, that's why he said yes. Yes, that's why I said yes. So all this suffering and this backsliding, you don't mind. I mind, but what can I do? When the heart is set on disobedience, what am I going to do? That's why you watch out for doors. Look, there are things that God doesn't talk about. God now tells someone now wants to use money to entice me from where I'm blessing you. I'm packaging many things and shipping around the world on the internet. Don't forget that thing. No, there are things you don't even pray about. There are some traps that are so clearly traps that God does not even, like, listen, God doesn't even like, he doesn't talk about it. He said, look, don't worry, my son knows it's a trap. My daughter knows it's a trap. I've seen people just walk away from destiny. All the people that I've heard that said God told them to travel abroad, went to America, went to Canada. The ones that went to Uganda were the ones that God didn't talk to. I told you the other day, my friend Pastor Corey, he's sensing the move of the Spirit to Maiduguri. He has not told me that God spoke to me. It is the ones that are going to where life is sweet that they need God to talk. Don't you know that something is wrong? No, that's what I have noticed. Those who are going to hard places, obeying God, didn't tell me God said. They just saw, see ministry, see mission. You mean there's no church in this place? My God. And they don't have money. You mean there's no mission here? But I've saw those who are always praying. Their prayers are God, though. These people say, if I travel here, they'll give me 18 million. Should I take it? In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey, kalababababa. Hey, shomomomomomomomomomomomom. But if I stay here, it's 50. Hey, kule bedi kabala kutu geba. Rubbish, come and get off from there. covetous souls. Those who are really obeying God in hardship, they don't pray those prayers. I have noticed it. They just get up, they say, this is work. This is responsible work to be done. I've seen Christians there, they are full of the spirit of Balaam. As the boys are running around the world looking for money, so are the girls marrying unbelievers. Why did you marry that guy? No, I prayed. My spirit said marry him. You know, when we were young those days, you could entice, you could harass us with such talk. But now, I said, you know, your spirit has the spirit of Mercedes Benz. You don't know that. Some have spirit of Mercedes Benz. Because if that guy wasn't driving that model of Mercedes Benz, you would not even have prayed. How much more to see what your spirit is saying? You know the interesting part? When my friend, Pastor Courage in the North, when he came home to come and marry the sister, one of our sisters, when the father asked her, why are you marrying this poor pastor? He didn't use those words, but that was what he implied. She didn't say, my spirit said. She didn't say, I was praying and God said to me that my daughter, I have created you to be the Eve that will follow my Adam into his own garden. Most of those talk, insincere talk. I want to harass you with spirituality. Please, our book will be out shortly, guided by the Spirit. I poured my heart out in that book. Let nobody harass me. God said to me. Bible says, to the crafty, he shows himself as crafty. By his word, he spoke to an evil spirit. Go and confuse that man. I want him to go to Ramoth Gilead. He will die there. The father said, why do you want to marry this man? She said to him, simple words. Because there's another guy who had Pepe. The kind of guy that come to chase you when it's offshore, when it's onshore. Half of the time is offshore. I want you to hear onshore, offshore. Apostle Mute Mute. You are from that zone. I'm telling you. Now my sis turned her back on him and faced the man of God who was going towards the desert. A real wilderness experience. And the father said, why? If you were a father, you too should ask why. She said simply, he didn't say my spirit said. As I was praying, the Lord began to minister to me. No. She said, I just thought about it. He's one man who can say, close your eyes. Give me your hands. I want to take you somewhere. He said, he's one person that can say it and I'll follow him. See covetous souls looking for money, blaming God. Say, Issachar is like a strong donkey. Lying down between the sheepfolds. When he saw that the resting place was good and the land was pleasant, he said he bent his back to bear the burden and became a slave at forced labor. What are you doing with constant power? I have a classmate of mine named Tami, like, he's always to abuse Nigeria. I said, you know why you always have to abuse Nigeria? Because where you are, you know you are a refugee. So you need it all the time to keep yourself sane. What are you doing with constant power? You don't have a factory. They say education system is good. I'm sorry, please. I'm sorry I sound insultive. Educational system that is structured on one point, they must not tell your children about God. And your children must be told that children from homosexual households are normal. And you see Christians claiming they are believers. They export children to be raised in that area. Listen to me. What is this man's name? Ura Roberts. His first son committed suicide. He said, the greatest regret of my life was I sent him to Princeton. One of our brothers that was telling me, a man educated his son abroad. Their church in Lagos. When I wanted to preach. If anybody can do anything for that man, All he wants is for his son to believe in God. This man grew up SU. And one day his son told him, "Daddy, that your God is your own. I don't know him." This man is a millionaire. Yet, as an old man, he's heartbroken. And you open your mouth and tell me education system is good. Please, I don't know how else to say it. You are very stupid. What are they learning? My children don't know. Why won't you be looking for who educates your children? Because you don't have time for them yourself. You don't have time for them yourself. Back to my point. So point number 4, watch out for the door the Lord will open by himself. But beware of traps. The door of God is marked by righteousness. Never forget, continue praying. And number 5, while waiting for the door of God, maintain a walk in uprightness and faithfulness. And be busy with what you have now. What did I say? While waiting for the door of God, maintain a walk in uprightness and in faithfulness. And be busy with whatever it is you have right now. And last point, when the Lord opens a door, be bold and walk through it. Just like adding it to it, please don't let anybody deceive you with how much money they are earning. I have seen money. Nobody can. We studied it here the other day. Solomon said, when money increases, the number of mouths that eat it increase. That statement is so true. You can't break it. You can't break it. Like one of our brothers will say, he said, "You think you have money problem?" He said, "Don't worry, God will soon give you money. Then you will know you never had a problem." You find that those who so-called have this money. Solomon said that they can't even sleep. It doesn't buy peace, it's a matter of fact, it doesn't buy comfort. It doesn't make you happy. But you know the truth? It makes you think you need to spend me to be happy. My best holiday all the time, I don't know whether my wife thinks the same way, but it's always December when my children have been exported. My parents-in-law love them coming around. Last time was my father-in-law that asked me, Vanky. I said, "Yes, Daddy. When are they coming?" He takes it for granted they are coming. I said, "Good. Go and warm your grandparents up. Give the house some noise. And give me some peace on this side." At such times, Enugu is the most beautiful place in the world. That's my greatest, holiday. And it cost me nothing. The only thing it costs, in quotes, is the fuel money to drive them 4 hours away. Last time, I didn't even go myself. My wife went with the driver. That is, they eat free food, do everything. That is, I don't even have to pay DSTV for anything. Who's watching what? And it cost me what? Nothing. But do you know, if I had a lot of money, and I know people like that, holiday, you package all the children with visas and everything, and be looking for where to go. One holiday, 6 millionaire are gone. When money increases, the number of mouths, airlines, hotels, travel agencies that eat it increase. And you'll be deceiving yourself into thinking you have an advantage over those of us who stayed in Enugu. That is what is called deception. So your children have seen the world. So, how does that get them to heaven? How does that make them prosper in life? Many people have seen the world. Listen, in seeing the world, they are frustrated and more confused than those who have not seen anything. Let me close. Time is going. So don't worry yourself. Don't bother yourself. I like that video of our vice president. He preached many years ago, not as VP. He was saying, then he wasn't vice president. I wish many people noted he was not vice president. He said, I started teaching at the age of 23. Became a professor in my 30s. He said, I never had a new car. When he was preaching, he said, there's no year I don't get three. He said, they dash it to me. He turned around and said, tell your neighbor, Farabale. Which I like the way we say it. Cool down. Cool your temper. That's the meaning of Farabale. Be patient. Relax. You don't want to waste your energy, break your conscience, defy your conscience, struggle at the end of the day. Find there's nothing there. And believe me, you will find there is nothing there. How I know people who are not serious? Either they are lying. Listen, this is how you know people are telling lies. Either they are lying or they are very poor in their hearts. You who sit down every day and be making noise about America, in London, Australia, and making noise. I know they are lying. Either they have never been there, they read stories, but if they really live there, they are telling lies. Because I have friends. Look, I know some of our brethren, they will tell you the truth. That the only reason why they are not back home, they will tell it. Look, my friend called me the other day, said, Banky, how much do they rent houses where you live? I said, why? He said, I need to rent a house near you because I have to be coming home at least 3 months a year. He said, I can't let my children grow up like this here. And the guy, money is not his problem. One day I told him some things. He said, that happens in Nigeria. These were his words. What am I doing in this goddamn country? Those were his words. He said, if Nigeria can sustain this, what am I doing in this goddamn country? An American citizen. He told me, well, you know that the man was looking for how to make money. What am I doing here? That's why the other one of my classmates that was making noise, he lives in the UK. I said, you know the truth? You are feeling bad on a daily basis. So you have to continue telling yourself, yes, Nigeria is bad. I can't go there. So that you can, you know, you have to console yourself. That our brother that I told you that bought a $1 million house. He said the only reason why he hasn't come back home is because the news of he reads of insecurity. He's tired of America. People who are not running, they're not running industry. They're shouting constant power supply. Those who are running businesses are buying diesel and pushing ahead. A man who just needs power to sleep. Well, there's a rechargeable fan. There's a rechargeable fan. You don't know people who don't have any sense of purpose. Wake up in the morning. Where's power constant? Your children will soon leave your house after your neighbor has better television. Yeah, when you behave like that as a child of God, that's what you're doing. God plants you somewhere. Please read my book, Don't Quit the Army. Christianity, I keep on telling people these days, no, become chop. It's come work. God is your God, your Lord. He plants you somewhere. You don't just shift because of money, because of comfort. Many people will be telling me, Pastor Bank, you've been a blessing, be healing you. And I'll be thinking, if I follow the advice of all of you, I won't bless anybody. Well, like I said, God will open the door for you. Amen. Say, so until that time, whatever I keep you, stay there. Do what you're supposed to be doing. Do it hard. Do it well. Be faithful. Fulfill your ministry. Be faithful. Do your work. In due season, I will move you from where you are to where I want you to be. Book of John chapter 6. Let me just read that and then I will close. This is where we are going next. This is actually what I planned to preach today. But this other matter just took me up. I don't know. Yeah, preacher, you know, strange things happen. Apostle, that knows. Yeah. What I wanted to read, what we read last time, same thing we did. We didn't really talk about it, you know. Okay, let me just read this one. Then I will stop. We'll develop it next time if the Lord gives us permission. From verse 26, this was after the Lord Jesus had multiplied bread, and then the people ate a lot of bread, and his disciples went to another side. That is, he told them to go to the other side. Eh? He met them in the midst of the water and all of that, and he calmed the storm. In verse 22, the next day the crowd that stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other small boat there except one, and that Jesus had not entered with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples had gone away alone. There came other boats from Tiberias near to the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the small boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Now before we read verse 26, notice that they went through a lot of effort to find him. Then when they found him, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me." He said, "You seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." Now this was his instruction to them, 27. "Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal." Let me stop here. We'll continue from this point next time. What I want to bring up, the last time we talked about, we read from another part of John, where he said that this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, we read that, and I wanted to go up ahead to develop this, because you see something here. If we are going to know him, like we said, that what our quest is to know the Lord. If we are going to know him, if we are going to see his face and really have the power to affect our environment delivered to us, like we said, if you know God, you have control in that area. He said to David, "Seek my face." And David said, "Your face I will seek." And Jesus said, "I give eternal life." He now told the people, "Don't labor for the food that perishes, but labor for the food that endures to eternal life." And what I want to bring out from there is that the people were laboring, but for what? But he said that, listen, labor for the thing that endures to eternal life. What does that tell me? To get to know the face of God, to get to have that knowledge of God. Are you getting my point? It takes labor. It takes labor. It takes labor. It is not as if the labor will break into the knowledge of eternal life, but it shows God where your heart is. Are you getting my point? Like we're talking about earlier, there are times you will reject certain juicy appointments as a sign of your quest for eternal life. A young man came to Jesus. He said, "What must I do to gain eternal life?" We now know that eternal life comes by the knowledge of him. When you see his face, Jesus looked at him and said, "You've kept the law." He said, "Yes, everything since I was a young man." Jesus said, "Good, now you have found out that the law can't give it to you. So where do you get it from?" "From following me." He said, "Now go and sell all you have and give to the poor." That was the cost for him of acquiring eternal life. It's not as if he's paying for it. Get my point? It's not as if he's paying for it. It's just that he needed to show to Jesus that this eternal life is more valuable than anything to me. And when he got to that point, the man turned around and went after his goods. And Jesus said, "Look at him." The Bible says Jesus felt sorry for him. The man was not ready to make the choice. Listen, what we are looking for in life is not this material thing, though. It is to seek the face. David said that, "One thing I have asked of you, I had troubles, enemies around me. I didn't pray about them. One thing I have asked of you is that I want to stay in your temple, that I might behold your face, that I might behold your beauty." I hope you're getting my point here. Listen, is that drive that I want us to realize that we must have? This desire that it's not money I'm looking for in life. I pray that God will open our eyes so that we will see that this life is empty. God needs to open our eyes. Just take off to the spiritual realm for just 5 seconds. They now see how people are pursuing cloud every day. When you come back, you will say, fear the Lord, obey his commandments. That's my whole duty. Each day I will do the duty of faithfulness ascribed to me, that is, delegated to me. I do that, what my life will be, God has determined. Christians, God has planned your life. He just wants you to walk with him while seeking the knowledge of his face, and he will place you where he created you to be. I've taken so much of your time. Let's bow down here and let's just pray. I just want you to commit yourself. Say, Lord, you said, seek my face. Your face I will seek. Say, I will stay on my duty post.
I will follow after righteousness.
And God will open my door.
Begin
to give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you. Say after me, say, Lord, I thank you. Because you have planned my life. I'm walking in your plans. I'm walking into your plans. I am obeying you today. And I leave tomorrow in your hands. Say, today, pour into me the spirit of obedience. Say, I receive it.
I receive
it. The spirit of endurance.
The spirit of the good soldier.
You know, Paul said, as a good soldier of Christ, endure hardship. Please, read that book, Don't Quit the Army. If you have not read it, make sure you get a copy today and read it. It is crucial. You are a Christian. You are tough. You are tough. Challenges don't drive you up and down. You are tough. You are not looking for where life is easy. You are tough. You are a true soldier of Christ. With you, David said, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. He was not a weak man. He said, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. He didn't say, I can run from my enemies. Say, in the name of Jesus,
I have the overcoming spirit.
Say, this week I'm stepping into.
I manifest that spirit.
I'm an overcomer.
I overcome challenges.
I'm an overcomer.
I overcome troubles.
Things that depress other people,
they only excite me
because I'm an overcomer. Say, in this land,
I have prospered.
It will manifest.
Listen,
you will prosper.
Amen.
God has blessed you already.
Amen.
He will make all grace abound towards you.
Amen.
You will have all sufficiency in all things.
Amen.
And you will abound to every good work.
Amen.
Listen, whatever you are doing, get home this night. Wake up early in the morning, during the night, and say, ask God, bless me indeed. He has blessed you. What I just saying is that, Lord, manifest your blessing in what I am doing. Then a scripture will drop in your mind that you'll be using to cook everything that you are doing. Simple scripture, not detail. You don't look for one detailed confession to make life. No, simple scripture. In all that I do, I prosper. What you are doing is that you are saying that this is not by my strength, it's but by the Spirit of God. That's what that confession is saying. It's well with you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, it is well with you.
Amen.
As this week, if you travel, safety is your portion.
Amen.
This week you are stepping into, even from this night, some people have to travel this night to go somewhere. You are safe in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
And no plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in my heart. You are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. You live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruit, multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus. Bless somebody on your left or your right. This is your season of multiplication and dominion. Bless somebody else on your left or your right. Bless one more person, please. This is your season of multiplication and dominion. Now, personalize it. This is my season of multiplication and dominion. In the... All right, cheer up, brethren.